The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
One day as Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was with him for healing. And some men brought on a stretcher a man who was paralyzed. They were trying to bring him in and set him in his presence. But not finding a way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on the stretcher through the tiles into the middle in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "As for you, your sins are forgiven." Then the scribes and Pharisees began to ask themselves, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who but God alone can forgive sins?" Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them in reply, "What are you thinking in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the one who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your stretcher, and go home." He stood up immediately before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home glorifying God. Then astonishment seized them all, and they glorified God. And struck with awe, they said, "We have seen incredible things today." The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, this is right. Yeah, this is the right response to our witnessing the work of God, His powerful works. We have seen incredible things today, I don't know. There's so much, really. I think going on in this passage, it can be related to various Advent themes. I'm not entirely committed to one or the other. Thus the throat clearing here at the beginning to buy myself some time here. I think the first thing to note is that it is the Jesus centrism, right? The fact that Jesus is the very center of this whole story, and rightly so, not only because we are the cult of Jesus Christ, but also because, you know, here we see there's power with him. The power of the Lord was with him for healing. You know, this event, right, known by God from all eternity, drawing to a head that day, right, the coming together of any number of stories, but they come together in or on the person of Christ Jesus. And he is the one who's going to act. And I think that this has to be the predominant reflection of our Advent season, is that Jesus is at the center. Jesus has to be at the center of our heartly lives. If he's not, nothing we do ultimately will matter, right? No pious act, the tremendous works of charity, none of it will matter if Jesus is not at the very center. So this is what I said. This is the first kind of and predominant Advent theme, and it emerges in this passage, and it emerges with real power. Jesus has to be at the very center. It's not really a secondary note, but it's a corollary note, is that Jesus being at the center heals, restores, and sends. Yeah, I mean, why should I say he gathers, he heals, and he sends. So like there's real personal magnetism in the scene, and it draws all the action and the people included to Jesus. Friend and foe alike, right? Because it's not nothing that he has here the opposition of the ruling, or to say the pressure group at the time, the Pharisees, right? The kind of the self-appointed whatever it is, agenda driving people of the day, right? It's, you know, we know what we're doing. We're pushing on, and they find themselves in vital conflict with Jesus because he's saying he's forgiving sins. And it's not so much that they are saying only God can forgive sins. When they say only God can forgive sins, they're also thinking about the temple involvement and rituals that forgive sins, right? So God forgives sins, but he forgives sins. What they're saying is God forgives sins through us, so not through you. It's a little bit different, right? It's not like, okay, well, the forgiveness of sins is not happening. No, like the action, we're in control of the action, not you, Jesus. But again, it's just a sign of, I think primarily it's a sign of the personal magnetism of Jesus. Even for his adversaries, he's at the center of the story. This is something that they probably resent with every fiber of their being. They have to go through him now. I mean, it's just the story clearly is going through him, and their fight, they resist it. Yeah, and of course, easily enough to say that we don't want to be on that side of things. We don't want to resist a Jesus centrism. We don't want to come before God and say, I'm pretty annoyed that this whole thing has to go through you, Jesus. You know, it's like, no, like this is we've been called to be a Jesus people. And so of course, everything does for us go through him. So that great magnetism, the gathering force of Jesus, and what does he do when he gathers? He heals. He heals, he restores. And it means that for us, we have to recognize the fact that we are not in perfect alignment with God. We need healing, at least of that sort. You know, we do not, in every facet of our lives, embody the generous love of God, right? We don't reflect, we don't radiate his generosity with every aspect of our being. And we recognize that we're in need of healing because we're in need of someone to make us aligned with God where we otherwise are not. And when we're aligned with him, I mean, now to change the image a little bit, when we're tapped into the power of God and aligned with him such that his power flows through us in the way that he's always intended it to, then we'll find ourselves radiating the mercy of God, radiating the love of God. And so it's alignment, but also it's tapping into and allowing the power of God to do what he wills it to do in us. Again, though, this is a Jesus centrism because Jesus is the one who does that, who accomplishes that in the flesh, who does it in the flesh, so that we are able to do it. Not just that we have a model ahead of us, but that the breathing of his life into us enables that very thing. Alignment and, again, tapping into the power of God. And again, as we come before him for healing, for strength, he's giving us healing and strength in order to be people who bring healing and strength to others, right? Encouragement, compassion, consolation, and the like. And then he sends. Okay, so he's gathered, he's healed, he's sending. And this is it. Are we going to commit ourselves here and now as we're in the presence of God, as we're opening our hearts to receive his mercy for us, right? Where we most desperately need his power, where we need to be brought back into alignment with him, we're receiving him. We are also committing ourselves to him and to his purposes. And that's part of the alignment. Yeah, so the sending is not, say, extrinsic to the work that Jesus is doing in us. It's intrinsic to it. So as we're aligned, we become people who must pour ourselves out, right? Not only who want to, but are enabled to pour ourselves out in praise of God and in service of him, pouring ourselves out in love for the good of the world. So it's right that we also are sent with the paralyzed man. We're sent. And we're sent to be about the purposes of God. Whatever they mean in specific detail, I can't tell you. You have to go out and live your life for the glory of God. But I know that he will meet you there with his power to have you persevere in the task that he entrusts to you today.